Hey, welcome back to episode 75, which is one episode away from 1 year of being on this one income family journey. I am so honored and so blessed to be helping you through the struggles of living on one income. I want to thank you for listening and thank you for your support. And I just want to throw out there that if this podcast has blessed you, if you are enjoying it, please hit pause right now and then go and write a quick review for the show. When you scroll down to the rating and review section, there at the bottom in purple, there is a button that says write a review. So if you go and you leave a review, this helps to get the show out there to other one income families in need so that I can also help them through their struggles. You never know, you might also hear your review read live on the show. Okay, so before I go too far off topic, today we are going to be talking about the pursuit of possessions and how that is keeping you from living a joyful and abundant life on one income. When you are so hyper-focused on things, your priorities start to change in an unhealthy way. So instead of your family being your priority and the needs of your family being your priority, your focus has changed. You are now focused completely on things, on the next new and shiny object that will bring you 5 seconds of joy. And then you're off looking for the next shiny object. And life is too short to be hyper-focused on things. Things that will lose your attention in a matter of days or months. So instead, I want to walk through this with you today on why this happens and what you can do to overcome it. So go grab that drink that gets you going in the morning and let's get to it. Do you find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to save money and live on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by not sticking to your budget? Are you ready for financial freedom? Then you, Mama, are in the right place. Welcome to the One Income Family Podcast, where you will learn what it looks like to budget on one income, how to partner with God in your finances, how to budget in a way that's easy to stick to, and how to cut costs and save money, all so that you can start building wealth. It is my mission to equip you with these tools so that you can live in abundance regardless of the amount in your account. Hey, I'm Molly, a budget coach for stay-at-home moms, and I know what it's like to struggle on one income. I've lived paycheck to paycheck, relied on being frugal, and failed many budgets until I learned how to budget without tracking. This has allowed my family to pay off debt and build wealth all on one income. So, if you are ready for financial freedom, then go grab that stroller, plug in those headphones, and let's get to it. Alrighty, so I realized the other day that I have not given you the layout of what you will get on a budget checkup when you hop on a budget checkup with me, right? And so I figured that today I would walk you through real quick on what it is that you get when you hop on a budget checkup call with me. And so what do you get? What simply put on paper can you get? So essentially what you are going to get when you get on a call with me is you are going to learn why you're off budget. You're going to be able to look at what it is that you're doing and actually see why you're not able to stick to your budget and what is happening. And then we're going to take that and we're going to create a budget overview for you that you can use every single month to set up your budget and actually know what it is that you need to do, right? And we're going to set it up not just simply to set it up and what things is going to work, right? But rather, we're going to set it up for you to live on one income because, yeah, you can set up a budget however you want, but if you're not setting it up to be able to live abundantly and to thrive on one income, then it's not going to work for you. So you got to be able to set it up in a way that you're able to pay your bills, that you're able to get your groceries all in the same paycheck and not be struggling like from paycheck to paycheck, right? And so what will a monthly budget do for you, or a budget overview? This is going to give you a financial overview that you can quickly and easily see. It's going to set up your bills on a monthly cycle and get them out, get you out of that feast or famine cycle, like what I was saying. You're not going to be living paycheck to paycheck anymore. You're going to be living in a more, I don't like to say comfortable, but it's a more comfortable way of living on one income and not having to stress over where that money's coming for your bills or where the money's coming for your groceries or, you know, your basic needs and that kind of stuff. And then you can actually see what margin you have for your financial goals. And then you can take what you see and make a plan to increase that margin, to reach your financial goals and reach them faster, and change up the habits that you currently have. Being able to see what it is that you're doing and what you want to do makes things go so much easier and so much smoother, because you're not trying to constantly be coming up with what it is that you're trying to do. You can simply see it right in front of you. And there may be times where, like, your food budget is way bigger than you want, but you can slowly start changing that because you can see what it is that you're doing. And so it's really going to help you set those boundaries and be able to see what it is that you want to do and create those financial goals to be able to achieve them, because, again, you can see what it is that you're doing. Okay, so what exactly specifically does the call consist of, right? It consists of your monthly budget overview. It's a 1-hour call. And you also get me a week after, so the following week after your call, for email support or Facebook Messenger support, whatever one you prefer to communicate with, so that you can get your questions answered and tweak it and change it if need be, your monthly overview, so that you can actually make it work for you. And it's not just something that you get and toss to the side, right? Because you want to grow. You want to be able to change what it is that you're doing so that you can stick to your budget. And that is why I create this monthly overview with you, so that you can actually see the things that you are actually doing and you can change up that whatever it is that you don't like, right? Okay. So if you have any questions, and if this sounds like something that you really want, then head over to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell. That's calendly.com/Molly Bunnell, and book your call with me so that we can get you sticking to your budget and you can get your monthly overview so that you can see the things that you are doing and start making those changes and increase the margin in your budget and stop living paycheck to paycheck, right? Because that's exactly what we want. We want more ability to do things in our budget so that we can live big and we can achieve our goals and actually do the things that you want to do. So again, head on over to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell and book your call today. Alrighty, so the pursuit of possessions. This is definitely something that I see a lot in my family here, especially like when we first became a one-income family, because it's just something that I feel like it's like ingrained in us to want to go out and constantly be buying things. I mean, yes, there is the buyer and there is the saver in this every financial situation, right? But it doesn't change the fact that there are still things that we want to go out there and buy. Like my husband, he likes to go and buy food. He really likes to be able to buy vehicles. He wants to be able to just buy whatever he wants in the moment, right? Because he is the spender. Me as the saver, I like to save up my money and not just buy things right there in the now moment, right? But save up and buy bigger ticket item things. So I still buy things. It's just a matter of the price point, right? Depending on whether I buy a $5 thing or I go out and I buy a $1,000 thing, right? I save up my money for the bigger things because that's what I like, are the bigger things, and I can save up my money for it. And I'm okay with not having the $5 coffee or the food that my husband likes to get, and I can save up for, like, I don't know, an online course that I want to get so that I can further my business, right? So those are the things that I really like to do, and those are the things that my husband likes to do, which it's still a matter of pursuit of possessions, right? Because it's like we're constantly wanting to change the things that we have, or we're constantly just wanting something. And in my husband's defense, he feels like he is wanting to be able to do these things because he's the one bringing in the income. And he's the one that gets to, well, he feels like he should get to do whatever he wants with his money, right? Which is totally fine as long as there is a spot in the budget for that, right? Because if you're just constantly going out there spending money without thinking about whether it's going to affect your groceries or your bills, then it can definitely make it a harder lifestyle living on one income because you're not thinking, like, you're not being mindful about what it is that you're doing with your income. You're just spending it willy-nilly. And that is one thing that I do hope that you get out of this, is that you are being mindful about what it is that you're doing with your money rather than just on a whim buying whatever it is that you feel like you need in that moment, right? And so, like I was saying, I kind of got off track there, but my husband, I really noticed this when he feels like the only way that he can show, which I just did air quotes around that, the only way he can show that he's making good money, that he is actually getting income and able to do something with it and feeling like he's actually achieving a good income, is by getting, like, better vehicles, right? Because that's just what he's kind of been raised up on, is new and better vehicles rather than the older clunkers that I am used to growing up on. And so that has really been a struggle because that's what he feels like. He feels like he's getting his worth out of his money, essentially. And we've definitely been working on that because, one, we can't really afford the every single nice and shiny vehicle out there, right? Like, we'd love to go out and buy an $80,000 vehicle. I say that with a lot of, yeah, you know, I struggle thinking that vehicles are like the price of a house right now. And that just baffles me. Like, I don't really want to buy that expensive of a vehicle. Like, I've got to be bringing in a lot of income to be paying for more for a vehicle than for my house, because your house, you can stretch out for like 15 to 30 years, right? But if you're buying a vehicle for the same price as your house and you can only have that loan for about, what is it, 7 years that you can have for a vehicle? Yeah, that's going to be a pretty penny, and it's going to hurt the pocketbook, right? Again, I'm getting off topic, but that's what my husband has really been struggling with, is feeling like he's able to do something with his money and showing his money, which that's another thought that I'd like to challenge you with, is why do you have to show everyone what it is that you're making? Why does everything have to be on display? I understand that we are living in a world of like Facebook and Instagram where we're trying to get everything Instagram worthy and get the best thing out there. But that's just like comparison and trends, and that's not bringing us true joy or true happiness. It's just bringing us things that are making us happy for like 5 seconds, and then we're searching for the next new and shiny object, right? And so that's what this episode came about, really, is because I just really want to challenge you in your thinking and try to help you get out of that constant feeling a need to be buying the next new and shiny thing. Okay, so let's hop into the four points that I see that are keeping you in the pursuit of happiness. So point number one, the things that are keeping you in the pursuit of possessions. Did I say the pursuit of happiness earlier? I meant possessions. Anyways, is that need to constantly be having more. It's essentially your money is burning a hole in your pocket and you're never content. You are constantly wanting more because that's what the world is training us to do. We've got so many influencers out there on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on whatever social that you are on, trying to get you to want the next new and shiny object because it's new and shiny and it's so good for you and it's going to give you this and it's going to give you that. And we're making all these promises, but they're not long term and they don't stick. They're for like 2 months and then we're on to the next trend, right? And so we are never content because the world is trying to get us to be in that constant buy mode. And that's why it's so hard to not be in that pursuit of possessions, right? So that's the first point. The second point, it kind of just leads right from that first one in the second point, which it's taking away your joy. This pursuit of possessions is taking away your joy, which joy is essentially contentment. There are so many more pieces to joy, but one piece of joy is being content with the things that you have and not constantly wanting that new and shiny thing just because somebody else has it, just because somebody else says it's the next best thing. But do you actually have a problem that it's trying to solve? Is it actually going to get you to a better lifestyle, or is it just a thing that's going to sit there in your closet that you maybe look at once or twice and then you get rid of because it's just cluttering up your house? We are so overwhelmed with the things that we have, with the clutter in our homes, and it's because people are constantly trying to get us to buy more and more and more. And instead of it being something that's actually going to solve a problem that we have or actually going to give us joy, like the decor in our house, those are okay. There's nothing wrong with getting decor. It's when you have so much that it clutters up your house and you feel claustrophobic or you don't enjoy being in your home because there's so much junk in it. And that's why. It's because of this pursuit of possessions. Just think of how much money you could save if you didn't have all that stuff just sitting in your closet or in the spare bedroom, sitting there collecting dust. Think of what you could get if you sold that stuff, right? Okay, but I'm getting off topic. Point number three, the pursuit of possessions, it's causing you to buy things that you don't need or you really truly don't want. And you're using money that could be used to achieve your financial goals that are actually truly important to you, right? That are a big goal, that's something that you really want to achieve. And it's not just an in the moment thing. Think of this as in sales. There is a sale going on, or something around where I live is called a junk jaunt. And it's a thing where every single little town around here is like having yard sales or selling antiques or whatever it is. I've not actually went, I want to, but it's always during a time that I've got something else going on, right? And so those are the things where we go and we're not actually going because we need to buy something or we're actually looking for something. We go because we think it's fun and then we end up buying things that we don't actually need, like the sale. If you're going to a sale and there's nothing there that you actually need, but you buy something, are you actually saving money? No, you're not, because you don't need that item even though it's on sale, right? And so that's the things that I want you to start thinking of, to be mindful of. And then point number four, it's keeping you off budget. The pursuit of possessions is keeping you off budget. It's part of the reason why you can't stick to your budget. There's so many other reasons, which is why I have a budget checkup that we can get your budget whipped into shape. But your habits, your spending habits, your mindfulness of your money is definitely something that you have to be thinking of all the time, or you're going to get off budget. If you don't think about, do I actually need that? Do I actually want that? Is it going to be able to, if it's like a clothing article, is it going to match what you have, or is it just something that you really like, but you have nothing to go with it, and so it's just going to sit there in your closet, right? And so that is what happens when we are on the pursuit of possessions route. So how do you fix it? How do you get out of that mindset? How do you be able to not have to have the thing? Now, it's going to be a lot of work. It's not easy work, but that is why I just really want to bring this to the forefront of your mind and give you some tools to help you start navigating it now so that in the future you are not stuck and glued to the need and the desire to have the next new and shiny object, right? So what you can do to fix it, first thing, plan for your possessions. It is not a bad thing to want to be able to paint your house or to be able to change up the decor in your house and stuff, but save up for it and plan for it. Don't just willy-nilly off the top of your hat, go and buy it on a whim. Have a plan for it. Have a savings for it so that if you do want to buy something, and maybe you don't want to have to plan for it, but if you have a plan for it in your budget, then you have the money for the possessions that you want to buy in that whim, right? So have a plan for the money and how much you are willing to put towards those things, and then you're not going to have to worry about if you're going to affect your bills, if you're going to affect being able to get groceries, right? So if you have a plan, I really want to hit hard on having a plan, having it in the budget. Okay, the second thing you can do is set a boundary. Set a boundary, which is kind of what I was talking about, around not just the financial side of it, but how many of the actual object you want. So say you're somebody who likes to buy gifts for people, and you like to just constantly be buying gifts because you never know when you're going to need one, right? Well, how many do you want saved in a certain location? Do you want to maybe say five gifts, and when you use one, you can go out and buy another one? Or maybe say 10 gifts, and again, when you use one or two, you can go and replace those. Another thing that you can do is if you want to buy something new, get rid of something old. So instead of the constant influx of everything, so I want to replace this, so why don't I go out and be frugal about it, sell this item that I don't want, get a little bit of money back from that item, and go buy the new thing, right? Or maybe you have it in your plan to be able to buy that possession, but then after you buy it and you're replacing it, instead of it just sitting and collecting dust, go and sell it. Get some money back for the thing that you no longer are wanting to look at, right? So be frugal about it. Be frugal about the possessions that you want to buy, about the things that you want to take to the next thing, right? If you want that new and shiny object, just have a plan around it so it doesn't put you in a financial hardship. Point number five, the fifth thing that you can do to fix it, and this is the hard one, start learning how to be content with the things that you have. I know it's hard. I'm right there with you. I just bought a whole bunch of paint to paint my kitchen for the second time since I bought it 3 years ago. However, I never finished painting it last time. So I literally have a dark blue cabinet. I have bright red cabinets because I never got the red finished covered from being painted. Then I have like a blue-white wall. I've got brown trim. Trust me, it does not look good. And I've been living with that for about 3 years. And it's it's finally gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So I am right there with you with like wanting to change up the look of things, wanting to be on trend because I'm wanting like a farmhouse style look for my house, right? Like it took me, I don't know, maybe a month to finally figure out the color scheme that I wanted because I wanted it to feel one way, but I wanted it to look another way. And figuring out how to blend the two together was like a headache, right? But I had a plan behind it. And I'm getting off topic with being content. So being content is something that's really hard to do, but it's just something that's really good to focus on. And I've told you before, contentment to me in the past used to mean that we had to, like we were forced to like the things that we had, even if we really didn't like them. But being content can also mean that you're changing things out with the things that you don't like. So I don't like a lot of the stuff that I have because it was just given to me. And I'm content with the things that I have, but that doesn't mean that when I'm able to financially create a plan to change them out, it means that I'm not sitting there constantly feuding over the fact that I can't get the things that I want right now. It means that I am not putting myself in a emotional state where I'm stressed out and I'm overwhelmed just because I don't like the things that I have. And that is kind of the place that my husband was in because he really wanted a nice looking pickup. Like when we first got together and he was able to buy vehicles on his own, he went through about 7 pickups in 1 year. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. It put us into a financial hardship when we first got married, right? But I knew that and we just had to figure it out. But ever since, he's had to downgrade and he really wants to go back up to a nicer pickup. And that has been just eating at him and eating at him because he's not content with the things that he has. We have a pickup. We have the things that we need, but it's not what he 100% wants and it's eating at him. And that is what I don't want you to have. I don't want you to let the things, the possessions that you are craving to create a mindset in you that is going to negatively affect you, negatively affect your relationships with those around you. And I want you to be able to take a breath, step back, and really just live in the moment. Enjoy the things that you have. Change them up as you can, but don't let it eat at you. Don't let it be the thing that's pushing you into stress, into anxiety, into a place that you don't want to be and that you don't want your family to have to live with, right? I don't want my family to live with me if I'm crabby, which has been a lot here lately. And you don't want that too, because then the way that you act and the way that you handle situations is going to be different than if you were in a calm, joyful, peaceful state. And that contentment is really going to help you get there. And it's really going to help you be able to do things calmly. You're still going to be able to change things up. You're not going to be stuck with the things that you have if you want to change them. But again, it's a mindset shift from I have to have this right now or else to I want that, but I can save up for it. And when I financially can pay for it, then I can get it and I can enjoy it instead of having to have it right now. Alrighty, so I pray that really sunk in and that you understood what it is that I was trying to get across, the point, right? That pursuit of possessions just really puts you in a negative mindset instead of a positive one, and it really can tear you down instead of build you up. And so I pray that you are able to use these 5 tips that I've given you to try to get out of that pursuit of possession and really start to be able to focus on the joy being happy with the things that you have in the moment, but being able to change it up as you're able to, both financially and mentally and everything else in between, right? Okay, so before I hop off, I do want to ask you again to please go and write a review for the show, because that is how this show is able to get out to other mamas and other one-income families in need who need the help that you are getting from this podcast. And I know that it really brings me joy to hear from you and to be able to see how it's helping you, not just hoping that it's helping you, right? Because it's the only way that we can really connect and talk, unless you come over to the Facebook group, which you can do that as well. But definitely go and leave a review so that I know that this episode is helping you and that the show is really getting you into a new financial situation, right? Instead of not being able to stick to your budget, you're starting to learn how to piece together how to be able to stick to your budget, even on one income. All right. With that, I will leave you here, and I will see you next week on another episode of the One Income Family Podcast. Before you go, I hope this episode has ignited a fire inside of you, and I pray that it creates long-lasting impact. Did you know that you too can impact other one-income families? All you have to do is leave a written review and you help get the podcast in the hands of other mamas in need. You can also text this episode to that friend who is also knee-deep in the same kind of chaos as you and inspire them to make a change. Also, your review lets me know that you're enjoying the show, and that lights me up. I get so excited to hear from you. Another great way that we can connect, though, is through the One Income Family community over on Facebook. So after you're done leaving that 5-star review, head on over to the community where you will find other mamas working their way out of the chaos. You can ask your questions and connect with others who truly understand what you are going through. I cannot wait to connect with you in the community. Until then, I will see you right here next week on another episode of the One Income Family Podcast. Thank you.